Hello, friends. Welcome to Odd Maverick After Dark. I am Kirk Henderson, and this is going to be our Mavs party. If you are paying attention to the stream at all, there is a link in the notes where you can join the show. Joining the show is really easy. You can do so by clicking that link, and whether you're on a phone or whether you're on a computer, anything ends up working out quite well. You can talk to me and ask me some questions. We can talk about kind of whatever anybody would want to today. I think we got my man Jack already waiting. He must be ready to fire off takes. And you know what? Even though there is news, Jason Kidd got fired between the last time, well, mutually parted ways, between the last time we talked. I want to hear from other people first. We can talk about that over the course of things. So, let's bring Jack on right away. Hey, Jack, what's up?
Good. How are you doing?
I am okay. I am starving. I ate dinner at like 5 o'clock, and then just life, you know, the way shit goes sometimes. So what's going on?
Well, had some news, of course, this week. Jason Kidd got fired, so I was pretty happy about that. I think Jason Kidd is like a, you know, average NBA coach in terms of just X's and O's, but it's clear that there were other reasons that he had to be fired.
You know, I think Jason Kidd is probably secretly happy that he got fired.
I don't know if he wants to coach, honestly. I think he wants to be a GM, clearly.
Or something. Like the day-to-day grind of coaching an NBA team is a lot. I mean, Steve Kerr looks like a corpse after several years of doing it for the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, sort of my Kidd comments aside over the years, I liked him in the playoffs. I think that when he actually decided to give a shit, he was a great coach, but his record in certain stretches for his whole career, usually it's kind of the January, February range. He just didn't care, or the team didn't care that he was under. And like, that was a little bit of an indictment on him. He only coached 251 teams in his whole entire tenure as a head coach so far. And that's with having Giannis, Cooper Flagg, and Luka Doncic as like your team stars. Like when you have three transcendent stars, at some point you have to have a little bit better than a 500 record. I also think that like kind of the power play stuff, factored into it. I did
Masai's organization.
Well, yeah.
He wants it entirely to himself, which I'm fine with, 'cause he understands what he's doing. Thank God.
Did you read any of the press conference stuff today?
I read some of the stuff. I didn't watch the full thing.
I didn't watch it either, but I was following along. And one of the things that I thought was actually pretty cool was how he, you know, when somebody asked if he had a different coach in mind, he said, you know, I've not even considered that because I needed to make the decision with Jason Kidd first. And I was not going to do that with Jason Kidd still as the coach. That's like it's kind of a small thing, but maybe it's just because I'm old now. And I appreciate when workplaces are like professional.
Nico would have backdoored Kidd. Just middle of the night, he's done.
Stab. You know, that sort of thing. So overall, I'm okay with this. And you know, I was talking to a couple of parents today, my kids' basketball practice, and one guy was like, yeah, you know, it's such a big job managing these superstars. And Bobby Corrala talked about how it's like, well, Jason Kidd got the superstars to buy in. And I'm like, I kind of want, you know, Jason Kidd is a two-time Hall of Fame enter. He's in the NBA Basketball Hall of Fame twice. He's an NBA champion. He's an incredible basketball player. Yes, of course, the basketball players are going to respect an all-time basketball player. Like, I didn't understand that. I was like, what? Of course, like, that was his whole deal. Like, if he couldn't do that, then what's the point? It's like when, you know, who's the coach of the Nuggets?
David, you know, Adelman. I
mean, yes, and it's like, that's a guy where it's like the questions about him, whether he can control the locker room, are valid, because he's just like, he's a jag. He's just a dude. He's just a guy, relatively speaking. So I will say I have like zero firm takes on who should be the next Mavericks head coach. And I think that I think our Slack was kind of like, he's going to be the kind of guy that will pick someone kind of out of the blue. And that strikes me as accurate. Now, a lot of people think it's going to be, at least the Mavericks will make a strong push for Sean Sweeney. Do you have any firm takes there?
I'm like 75% confident they hire a first time NBA head coach. I think Sweeney, I think is like the favorite, if you will, right now. But I mean, it's so early, it's impossible to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I would say, like, if I had to put money on it, I'd say Sweeney. But for what I want, I think what Masai wants is going to be someone young, someone who can kind of energize the team a little bit and, you know, introduce the new, fresher ideas. Because, I mean, clearly, I mean, he had one comment today, and it was the comment that I focused on the most, which was everything we're doing is for the future.
Yes.
You know, and I think there's no point in bringing in Billy Donovan, in my opinion. Like, is Billy Donovan a fine coach? Yeah. Is he doing it really anything for you long term? Probably not. So I'd rather swing on someone, you know, young and analytical to kind of, you know, modernize this team. Because, I mean, they shot every time I'm on here, I've mentioned they shot like 31 threes a game last year. But was it really that high? It was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah.
But I just want someone young, and I do think Masai is going to want that. I think he wants someone who he can kind of mold, and this sounds negative, but someone who isn't going to question his roster decisions, like Jason Kidd surely would have.
I certainly think there's something to that, because there's a big part of everyone needs to be rowing in the same direction. And, you know, one of the hallmarks of the Mark Cuban era, and I mentioned this today in our Mavs Moneyball Slack, where I feel like the level of dysfunction post-championship really ramped up when they fucked up the Dwight Howard, Darren Williams, Chris Paul pitch, and they weren't able to close on any of that. The dysfunction just rocketed. And it's easy to say that in hindsight.
The dysfunction started when they blew up the 2011 team for no, because they had to go try to get Dwight Howard.
Well, isn't that like, the truth? Before then,
it's like they were kind of dysfunctional, and they just, you know, Dirk had least, that run. But they were pretty competent until then.
I at least understood the logic, even though I hated blowing up the title team. But when you fail in an execution of a plan like that, it sort of requires an institutional reset that never came. The Mavericks Rollabob was there late in by 2018. But that was kind of the whole point, where it was after the championship, who Cuban went from being a sort of passive participant, he was involved in stuff, to really being like, I did this. I was a big part of the championship, even though he was like nowhere to be seen during that entire run. And if anyone remembers why, you will smirk with me. So it's like we sort of have gone 13 years where the professionalism was like it didn't even occur to me that was the thing that the Mavericks were missing, until you see the sort of way Masai conducts himself and has talked about this team. And it's just really honest, because Cuban was always selling. It's all, we're going to be good this year. I want the Mavericks to compete next year. But talking about the future is the only thing that matters. And like the Mavericks for so long put the cart before the horse just over and over again. So these sort of comments have been really nice for me.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're not going to repeat the mistakes of Luka, of the Luka era, where they saw half a season of Luka and were like, okay, this guy's clearly going to be, you know, a generational player. So let's trade all of our assets and try to go after KP. So it sounds like they're not going to try to do something like that this offseason and try and, you know, oh, Cooper Flagg is going to be great. And we're just going to try to build it too early, because you really want to slow play it in the NBA. Like, I think in the NFL, you can turn it around in an offseason. But in the NBA, it's a process.
Well, we're doing this during the middle of the Spurs-Thunder game series. Yeah. And, like, if you're watching that game, and it was slightly biased, had, like, this video that went mega viral where he's just like, they're playing a different fucking sport than the Mavericks. It's like, yeah, they really are.
Yeah, it was the Mavericks this year. Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, I was in the Slack chat today. I was just firing the takes off. I mean, I was on... Oh, I felt like I was on the ESPN show today.
That's what it's for.
But you know, they don't need to just blow up the team for nothing. That's my opinion. But it sounds like they're not just going to try to have this mindset, which they would have had with Cuban, where it's, hey man, Kyrie coming back is like trading for a player. Right. That's like trading for a superstar. Our draft pick is our free agent. Oh, people forget about Frank.
There's just no reason to oversell because
it's a great kid quote.
I know you've been a fan for quite a long time, and I have to say the part of the Luka Doncic experience that I liked the most in hindsight was like the slow rise of expectations. I guess I need to do it this way for the camera. That was fun, where it's just like, you know, what Cooper could become next year was a big part of you and I's discussion today. And like, that's really fun to think about.
I know. It's a great problem to have.
It's like,
is he going to be Kawhi or LeBron?
And they don't need to rush that process. Josh has said for going on a year now, it's all about who is on the team when Cooper is 24, 25, not 21, 22. And hell, he doesn't even turn 20 till December. We're just in a really special spot. And I think that the Mavericks will, it's like, you know, without knowing anything right now, I think that they'll be like a 37 to 43 win team next year.
Yeah. I think they'll be right around 500. Probably have like kind of a similar, not similar net rank. So net rating get tanked by the end of the year, but I think they'll play a million clutch games next year, just like this year, but they'll win a lot more of them. And I think they'll be like 39. Like I could see him being way lower if they trade everybody, including Kyrie, and the team is just awful. Like there's no talent. But if they just kind of have like a median offseason, I think like they should be high 30s, low 40s, depending on health.
Right. And that's before we know who they pick in the draft, before they make any. And granted, we know free agency is a lesser thing, but they will move people around. That's just sort of the nature of it.
Full MLE. I think they have the biannual. So
and some stuff. There's some fun opportunities ahead of them. And so it's a nice part in the process. And to hear Masai say today, it's like we're going to be doing this correctly. And it's even if it doesn't work, I said yesterday, whenever the hell Josh and I recorded, I said, like, if you would have told me like 54 weeks ago that this is where we'd be now, I would have said, you're a fucking liar. Like, get out of my face. Like, there's no way. Like, I was like really seriously considering like, okay.
Ending the
pod. It's like, there's just nobody's going to care.
Dude, if they, oh man, they would have moved the franchise. They would have moved the franchise if they didn't get Cooper. I just never think Dallas would have cared about the Mavericks again.
It would have been a slow spiral because I think you can kind of argue. I don't know if you saw this discourse online today. I don't think people care about the Mavericks now. Like we care about the Mavericks.
Yeah.
But like all these former season ticket holders were online, like showing kind of the pitches. It's like they fired Jason Kidd and then they made a pitch for season tickets. And it's like, That's so funny.
All right. The last head coach was so bad. You want to get season tickets now?
Are you interested in this now or will you come back now? I know that's a weird deal. Well, what else is on your mind tonight?
I mean, a lot about Kidd. I mean, I've been talking a lot about Kyrie and kind of what I want them to do with him. So I thought I'd just kind of get my take just in full. So I know a lot of people. I don't know if a lot. There's a subsection of Mavs fans that just no matter what, tear the roster down. Like no matter what, your Kyrie's off the team by August 1st. And I understand it. Like I get this trying to get any asset possible because you don't have any. And the Spurs and the Thunder built their teams through asset accumulation. Mm-hmm. I'm of the belief that if they get a great offer for Kyrie, I think you should trade him, right? And I think what I would define as a great offer is whatever, you know, $39 million in salary, no like Jeremy Grant contract. I don't want to deal with that. Either like a lottery pick in this draft, like I did a Miami Heat mock trade that involved pick 13, or I want at least two unprotected future firsts and preferably three. And I don't think they're going to get that. So I don't think they're going to trade him. But my thing is he fits so perfectly next to Cooper Flagg next year.
He's a perfect tertiary player. Like the second banana second guy is his role. Like that's just what he's going to go into the Hall of Fame because he wasn't a perfect wingman for multiple guys.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, obviously he's coming off the ACL. I don't think anyone is expecting him to be the same Kyrie Irving that we saw before the ACL injury last year. He was so good after the Luka trade. No one was watching those games, but he was so good. but I said this in our Slack that, I mean, I think playing him in more of like the Chris Middleton role when he was with Giannis in like 2020, 2021, where he's playing off ball for the vast majority of the game. But then in the fourth quarter, final 5 minutes, clutch time, then we give Kyrie the ball and let him cook. But I don't think Kyrie should be dribbling and doing a ton of self-creation next year in a perfect world. I think it should be more off ball, because even if he's slower and his handle isn't as good, like, he's going to be a 40% from three guy.
See, and this so, is where I'm just
I want to keep Kyrie.
I'm just lusting after Mykal Brown for this very reason, because I think you slide him in a point guard spot.
You gotta forget about him. I'm believing. forget about him.
He's gonna fake a back injury and force his way to the Mavericks.
Dude, I remember like November. I watched that game he had against Kentucky. And I was like, oh, this guy's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I had to listen to months of he's actually not that good. I mocks where he'd go to like 11.
Right.
And then
I mean, this draft, like,
oh,
this
wow. Mykal Brown's actually 6'5 and shoots a ton of threes and can dribble and pass. And is that
right? I'm really not understanding how he's not the fifth pick, like, right now. Like,
I can get the Wagler argument over him, but anything lower than 6 is insane.
Right.
I mean, like, A-cup over him would be
hilarious.
Crazy.
Just hilarious. I mean, some of these teams are, and that's what you bank on. You bank on a team being idiots in some way, shape, or form. And the Mavericks, but it's just in terms of what you were describing there, let's throw Mykal Brown out. This is why I hope they land a guard that wants to play make, that wants to at least run the offense in some form. Because I tend to agree that I think, and, you know, we got some folks in the chat that are disagreeing with us, and, you know, I just think moving Kyrie is exceptionally difficult due to the contract. And I think if you're moving him, you're moving him because you there's an issue with him and or something like that. And I don't think there is. Masai Ujiri said today, like, told a story about what Kevin Durant had said to him, that there's only one Kyrie Irving. And while I do think this front office has a mandate to kind of do whatever they want, in a way that the previous one didn't. And I had said, you know, let's just say they were going to keep Riccardi. I don't know. I would have said that because of the affiliation with the trade and him coming here, et cetera, et cetera, the Mavericks were going to need to do right by Kyrie kind of at all costs, just to be able to preserve some sort of political capital with the players. Because Kyrie's like, he is the most beloved NBA player. Like, it's, the guys just worship him the way that they did Kobe. And I think how you treat a player like that has some importance. But now I think Masai kind of can do, if he wants to trade him, I think he trades him. Like, I don't mean to make it like that reductive, but I also think, though, it's like that 40 million figure, it's kind of a weird figure. There's not a lot
it's
of
not
salaries.
Like supermax level where it's so expensive that you have to get off of it.
Right.
But it's not so cheap that you can easily trade it. It's kind of like just a weird.
Most salaries in the NBA are like 55 million or 12 million. 20. Yeah, and some 20s.
12 to 20. 12
to
20.
But nothing is like in that upper. It's like he's a middle. He's like a B. He's like a B minus contract. I just think it'll be very difficult. But then there's the additional element. Our colleague Ben, who was just sort of sick of Kyrie as a concept, was like mad about him all day. It was very funny to read it. Like, Kyrie is outstanding to watch. Like, after the fucking ball handling we watched last year where guys were just dribbling into walls, Kyrie, like, slipping through the cracks and being able to do weird shit with the basketball, like, I want to see it again. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, you can't think like that, obviously. And I try to think of it more from, like, a GM perspective. But, sure. You know, from a fan perspective, like, I mean, Kyrie's probably like top five ever when it comes to just pure entertainment value, like watching him play. So
I'll never.
And if he's not on the team next year, they're going to be so bad. And it's just another year where we're in March and it's
so bad when we don't have a pick. Watch. And so there's just little
like
to
this year.
To watch
for. Hey, they won't. I won't have to get mad at them for playing Chris Middleton this year.
That's
if they're bad.
That's true.
So they give Chris Middleton all the minutes they want. And I'm not going to get angry.
That'll be good. Any other takes this evening?
I mean, I have a million takes. I have infinite takes, but Any interesting ones?
I got a question for you. Who is the guy in the Mavericks range right now in the nine, let's just say the 7 to 13 range, who you are like absolutely not on the mock drafts?
Nate Amon, easily.
Okay.
That's the only guy if they took, I'm burning the jersey. Nate, he is just so awful. And you know, his agent, of course, leaks. Hey, he's gonna be like 6'11 in 3 years. He's gonna be 6'11 in trash. So keep him away from the team. But outside of that, I mean, there's really nothing that would make me like that angry.
Okay.
Like, I don't like Yaxel. I'd be like kind of confused, but I'd be like, all right, I like Yaxel. I like him as a player. I like him more than I think most people, but
I would be pissed, but he's so fucking big at his position.
He's just giant, bro.
Yeah. So to big. Where it makes a, you know, like Flag, if there's one issue with Flag, it's he's not a great defensive rebounder for his size. And it's just the Mavericks are going to, that's a thing they're going to have to build around, I think, over the course of his, it's like a dude like
I
that.
I don't know. I think when Flag gets bigger, he'll be fine.
Yeah, I hope
and
so.
Plus I think he's kind of a small forward. So I mean, whatever.
Yaxel's just a huge human. I mean, he's a
Gafford at center. Yeah. So like the defensive rebounding's cooked immediately.
Yeah. Oh God. I like that one. David's in the chat saying Nate Amet would be catastrophic. Very good. Well, I got one more guy waiting. Anybody else that wants to join and come on up? I need to do these with regularity. That would actually result in people, you know, knowing to come, but I had to go to work out of town last week. So thank you for starting off the show with us. All right. Talk to you soon. Okay.
All right. See you later.
Later, man. All right, Jack, that was fun. I'm going to cut to a quick break. And then I'm going to bring up Kill a Cam and anybody else that wants to come up. Thanks so much for hanging out. There are three ways to support the show. The first is by listening to the ads that I'm going to post. The second is by telling your friends, grow the show. The third is there's some links down there in the show notes that are direct access links. So if the Mavs end up drafting somebody you like, feel free to send Josh and I $5 in celebration. Thanks so much. I'll be inserting these ads. We'll be right back. Okay, this is Mavs Party. This is you join the show by clicking the pinned link in the YouTube chat. If you are listening on audio the next day, I'm going to be trying to do these every Wednesday night from now until the foreseeable future. We can talk about whatever. Doesn't necessarily have to be Mavs based. We can talk about the playoffs. We can talk about whatever you're watching. We can have some fun. I like talking to you guys. So my buddy Kill Cam coming up next. How are you, dude?
I'm good. How are you?
I am all right. I'm hungry. I ate dinner too early.
I know.
So what's going on? What are you thinking?
Man, like, what do you think about Sean Sweeney?
I sort of am of the opinion that I think he would be crazy to take the job. Like, you're down there coaching the 7'7" alien guy as an associate head coach and may have a chance to, like, win multiple rings.
Yeah.
So if I'm that's sort of my initial question, but in terms of like a coach for the Mavericks, sure.
I mean, the thing is like, but they're not going to have him ever become the head coach though.
Right.
No, so I know. Like, so this is like, I think this is a pretty good opportunity. So I think
if the Spurs like win, then I think they actually have a better chance at getting him because he will have that ring.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Hopefully we get him, man. But also, this one dude on Twitter was talking about this EuroLeague coach. I'm just looking up his name real quick.
Starts with a J.
Yeah, it's like Jessica.
Yeah, he coaches. Is it Fenerbahce? No, I can't remember.
I think it's FC Barcelona. I think
one of these power European clubs. I'm remembering this too. I saw this today.
Well, like what do you think about like a European coach? Because like to be honest, I haven't really been impressed by the European coaches who have come to the NBA so far.
I think it's too much to ask because, you know, one thing Jason Kidd was good at was managing ego is not the right word, but managing the NBA level personalities. These guys make so much money.
Yeah.
And it just, it, if your coach isn't on the same level of respectability, one mistake can kill them. It can just end everything for them.
Yeah. So it was like, and also like, I just haven't been impressed with like their scheme either, you know, like, it seemed like how be sort of over talked about, you know, like overhyped in a sense, you know? So well, I'm just like, eh.
I think I mean, part of it is that the NBA's rules are so different from EuroLeague, where the physicality is a lot different. The shooting is nowhere near as good, which changes a lot of stuff. Like you gotta get creative in ways to find the basket. And also there's some rules that I wish the NBA would adapt, the FIBA rules, like the stuff on the rim where you can knock the ball away. I love that. And I think there's just the European game is more tactical night in and night out. And I think some of that just gets lost because so much of the NBA's regular season that you and I watch is slop.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, but oh man, I mean, even though I kind of like the Jason Kidd, I thought it was the right decision. And I'm just excited about who we can get, man. Like for me personally, I want Sweeney, man, but whoever Masai decides, I'm perfectly cool with as well. You know, as long as it's not like Doc Rivers or like
right. Rivers, I don't think you know, he's never hired a retread. He's only hired kind of guys that he's, I don't want to say obscurity, but he's plucked guys from benches and has elevated people. Where it's like Sweeney would probably be the most brand name coach he's hired because Sweeney's a known commodity in the NBA world.
Yeah, hopefully he breaks that rule for him, man. Because I really like Sweeney. But
I wonder because his affiliation with Kidd, like he's well, like, Kidd's guy.
Well, like Stein reported that won't be an issue.
Yeah, I believe that. I can.
Yeah, and also Sweeney doesn't seem like the kind of person who like angling for Masai's job.
No.
Yeah, so I mean, like, yeah, so like, coach. Yeah, so yeah, so I don't think that would be a problem. And also, like, I think they didn't really really hate Kid style there. I think it was more because the owner, everyone liked him. It was just more of, you know, worrying about him also constantly trying to like backstab Masai. But like the all the other stuff, like it seems like they still like so they wouldn't mind having someone who can kind of replicate some of those things.
Sure,
positively, you know. I just think it's like a match made in heaven, but. I'm at the point with Masai to where like whatever he decides, I'm totally cool with.
Yeah,
because he's really starting to really earn my trust.
Did you see this sort of disappointed me today? I wanted to bring this up just because I really like him. Did you see that the Mavericks parted ways with Rafael Barlow, who was who had been one of their European scouts that Nico hired?
I'm gonna be completely honest. I haven't really gotten into that scouts. So like I really didn't know him, but that's what sucked the way.
I sort of started following him in this after the Kyrie trade when I was pretty sure the Mavericks weren't going to make the playoffs, and he was the first guy that I read about that was like, oh, Derek Lively. Now, in hindsight, there were more people touting him than Barlow, but he came on my show here, and I really enjoyed getting to talk to him. Just a very knowledgeable guy, and like I understand like when new people get hired. Other guys get moved out, and that's just sort of part of it. But it just made me just, I don't know, I just wanted to shout out the guy.
Yeah, hopefully he seemed like a smart guy, so hopefully he'll find some riddle in. But like,
this is a good question. Did you see it? So I'm gonna read it because I think you might be a good person to answer this one. Why are so many people into Sweeney? Is it because he's been here before? There's been tons of changes since he was last with the Mavs. I'm just curious. Juan, this is a good question. I'll let Killa Cam answer first because I think he has a good answer here.
Well, to be honest, like it's more because of like how highly touted he is and also like his schemes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've really been impressed by all of the defenses. Like, and it is kind of cheating because one of his defenses has Wimby, but like,
right.
But even with like Cornette, I still have a really good. Even it's a scheme, and I really like, and also like a MFFL Nation brought it up when he was doing like a joint podcast with Matt's Film Room. Like he knows how to deal with with superstars. He's dealt with Giannis, Luka, and Ant.
Right.
So, and he's also like a, he's also like seems like a players coach as well. So I think he's the best of both worlds because he someone who's really good tactically, but also a really good people person. Yeah. Okay, and it's like and I think that that balance will provide a really good thing here with Dallas.
I think what I
and remember, and also like another note, like Phil Handy staying, man. So I'm really happy about that as well.
I will say that as far as the Sean Sweeney, my understanding is that he's like other coaches value Sweeney. Yeah. Other coaches think he is a good coach.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was pulled away by San Antonio, like the Mavericks didn't want to pay him. Like that's partially why Sweeney didn't stay. The front office, whether it was Nico, whether it was the owner, didn't want to pay Sweeney.
I think it was Nico.
Yeah. And you know, that's okay. Cause there's a lot of there are a lot of coaches out there.
Yeah.
But I think that's the short answer is that there, he's a coach's coach. He has a track record of interesting, you know, schematic choices and things. Like he was largely responsible for the defense that helped the Mavericks get to the finals in 2024.
Yeah.
And you know, the Mavericks defense last year had no guiding principles. Like I feel safe saying that. Like the Mavericks wanted to give up the mid, they wanted to force people into the mid range. That was it. But the, maybe it was just team personnel and some of the guys, but like I just felt like the Mavericks defense, yes, they played hard for under kid. I get playing hard, yada yada.
It made up for a lot.
Right. It does make up for a lot, but it's just it had a ceiling. So
yeah.
I don't know, and I think because he is kind of a well-known name, there's an element of because he's a coach's coach that other coaches like, can he help hold the locker room together with bigger personalities? Now, that's kind of a different discussion, but I think the answer, because he's a known commodity, is you hope yes.
Yeah, and also like it's also good that he's pretty much a experienced superstars throughout, like even with Brooklyn, you know, with they're old, but still like KG, Paul Pierce, like ISO Joe, like those were superstars as well. Even though they were past their prime, they were still NBA superstars. So he's dealt with superstars his entire career. He knows how to communicate with them. And the thing is, like it seems like all of the superstars like him.
Yeah,
like Wimmy likes them, Luka liked him, and Giannis liked him.
Yeah,
you know, like I don't know if like Paul Pierce and KG did because he like he was like a because he wasn't like because like he really wasn't the lead assistant at Brooklyn, so like I don't know how much he interacted with those guys, man. But
right,
all the places he's been a lead assistant, the superstars like him. So
yeah, that's something that matters. What else you got? Anything else for us? I'll ask you a question then. The same question that I asked Jack. Is there anybody in the Mavericks draft range who you are particularly turned off by? And if the answer is only Nate Amet, that's fine. But I'm just curious.
Amet, yes. Kareem Lopez. I wouldn't mind him at 12. But at 9, you know. Sure. So, like, yeah, I will only be fine with, like, Kareem Lopez if we get a trade down. But in Burry, like, I like Burry's, but I don't view him as highly as a locked-on Mavs do. Like, I have him, like, if he's only there at 9 and OKC offers at 12 and 17, I would take that deal. Instead of just picking him outright.
Sure.
You know, like, because I just don't really believe 100% in his ability to ever be a good lead guard. I think at best he could be a serviceable lead guard. So I think he's more of a kind of undersized two guard a little bit, you know. So,
right.
And like, and he doesn't really stand out. Like, sure, he's good at everything, but he's really not great at anything. So I'm like, you know, like, so really, like, Nate Emmitt and Kareem Lopez, I would kind of hate at 9. And I would kind of, even though I wouldn't hate the pick, Burry's kind of like at the bottom of my list as well. you know, like if it was only between him and trading down, I would trade down.
Well, that happens. I think that the casual fan would be disappointed at a trade down. And if you want to put me in that group, I think like the trade down, while it might make sense, it just reminds me of the institutional failure of last season to tank good enough.
But hopefully a player, a ranked higher, because we'll be there. But mm-hmm. if not, I'll just like trade down and take like maybe Fallon or if Burry's make the total 12, and I will gladly take him. So, you know,
that's a good answer. Well, we only got, what do we got? About a month left.
Yeah, like a month and a half. No, yeah. a month.
It's gonna be a long month.
Yeah,
long month. Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, hey man, thanks so much for joining once again. I appreciate you always coming on.
Sure, thank you.
All right, talk to you soon. Okay, we got Chris waiting. Chris, welcome to the show. What's going on, dude? Give Chris a chance to see if the audio will pick up. If you have AirPods in, sometimes the audio flat out won't work. Something like that is occasionally an issue. How to filibuster? We'll see. Can I hear you there, Chris? That's funny. I can hear him. Wonder if he knows he's on. No, Chris may not know he's on. Okay. Well, if there's anybody else that wants to chat, please feel free to join in the show here. Otherwise, we may just wrap this one up a little bit early and let everybody go watch the fourth quarter of the Western Conference Finals game two, in which the San Antonio Spurs keep making it interesting as the Thunder keep trying to pull away. Looks like there's been some fun plays in this one. Very much enjoyed following it over the phone during it. And I really love the Stephon Castle dunk. Good comment from Danny down there. He says Caruso is becoming one of the best championship role players ever. He's quite the dude. Cannot believe the 2020 Lakers just let him go. Insane decision making in hindsight. We'll see if we can give Chris one more time. Chris, are you here? Chris is not here. That's okay. Okay, guys, we'll be back next week. Josh and I will. If any more news breaks in the meantime, please feel free to reach out. If there's anything you'd like to hear from me, head on over to Maz Moneyball. We got a lot of stuff up, a lot of stuff. Really proud of the staff. Everyone have a great day. We will talk to you soon. Go Mavs.